Closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. So I kind of pretended this weekend was Memorial Day weekend. Just because it was so nice, I don't want to take any chances. What a weekend. What an incredible weekend. I actually got some of the things done I wanted to get done inside. Had to go pick up the kid at Eau Claire on Saturday. That was kind of tough. Being in a car for 6 hours on a day like that. On the other hand, it was a great day to move out. So it was just a great weekend. Yesterday was fabulous. Just ready to go to start the week. I want to start the week, actually, though, by going back to Friday, because this is a story that was out there on Friday, and I didn't get to it. I want to spend some time on this. It deals with the news last week, Tundra Lodge Resort Water Park and Conference Center informed the mayor that they were withdrawing their plan for a 50-meter Olympic pool. And I want to just read directly from there was a story in the paper, but I want to read directly from their letter to the mayor. The vision when John Bays originally proposed and offered a partner with the city of Green Bay to bring a Olympic pool in conjunction with a resort-style swimming pool to Tundra Lodge was A, the idea would help potentially reduce Colburn Pool's financial problems of building such a large Olympic-sized pool, B, save the taxpayers significant expense of annually operating such a large pool, and C, provide Green Bay and surrounding residents with another family-friendly staycation option. Tundra was making plans to develop an outdoor leisure pool anyway, and thought it may benefit all to have these discussions about the Olympic pool. All of these options would help tourism and revenues for the surrounding community. The vision and plan was not that Tundra Lodge would make huge profits from this development, because it would not. It was meant to save the city of Green Bay taxpayers potentially millions of dollars over several years while still bringing additional revenues and tourism to the area. We never wanted to compete with the Colburn Pool. We simply wanted to provide options to accomplish ultimately the same goal at much less expense to the city. We also noted that it didn't make sense for Green Bay to have two pools, so if Colburn ultimately was proceeding, Tundra would not include it in their plans and ask the same of the other side. It was never an ultimatum, as portrayed by Alderman Weary. Then they go on to attack Chris Weary. Well, that is an ultimatum. You can paint that any way you want. It is an ultimatum. We will add the Olympic pool on the condition that Colburn not. We don't think there should be two of those pools. I'm inclined to agree. It's if you weren't going to build this pool, if the Colburn pool proceeded, it's an ultimatum. You weren't willing to include it in your development if the Colburn pool was going to be there. I mean, we're splitting some really micro-semantic hairs here. And I'm not trying to beat up on him. I'm just saying that is an ultimatum. And I think Chris Weary is getting unfairly attacked here. Let's see. Tundra also went so far as to commit that pricing would be held below what our current swim clubs and community members may be used to paying, as outlined in the recent RDA meeting. Additionally, it was Tundra Lodge that first approached the city to share plans of our development and partnership thoughts. The mayor's office and his staff have been nothing but professional and courteous to us as developers and property owners in the city, as we hope they would be to anyone looking to significantly invest in Green Bay's future. So Jim Schmidt was wonderful and Chris Weary is awful. We have now come to realize that not everyone has the same vision we may have for trying to save the city money and at the same time bring the people of Green Bay a wonderful, fun, and family-friendly value. Alderman Weary has made that abundantly clear with his disrespectful and distorted comments of our vision in the facility. I don't think Chris has done any of that. Trust me, I don't always agree with Chris Weary. But I think there are several members of council that had concerns about this. And maybe it's just a coincidence that once again, there's a development that's not going to happen where Jim Schmidt is made out to look like a saint and Chris Weary the devil. And maybe John Bayes did decide to do that all by himself and no one suggested that he do that. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But I think it's an unfair characterization. If you go back to the story that the paper did on this, the announcement came 2 days after City Council approved borrowing $3.5 million for the 50-meter pool at Colburn Park to replace a deteriorating swimming facility at the park on the city's southwest side. Tundra Lodge had simultaneously been in discussion with city officials about including a pool in an upcoming expansion on condition the city provided $3 million in TIF assistance and cancel its plans for a new Olympic-sized pool at Colburn Park. The letter insists the conditions placed on its pool project were not an ultimatum. That's just silly. It is too. And I think this is completely unfair to Chris Weary. I am not saying there was anything wrong. I told you, I was very torn on it. But a commitment was made at Colburn. And that commitment should be kept. Donations have been received, substantial ones. And I think that commitment should be kept, and that commitment couldn't be kept if this goes through because you did give it an either-or. An either-or, by definition, is an ultimatum. And again, I'm not trying to beat up on him. I just think he's being incredibly unfair here. And I'm wondering if anyone inspired him to be this unfair. I'm just wondering. Not saying, just wondering. The mayor is quoted in last week's newspaper story. I think we had a partnership with Tundra. I think we had a partnership with the neighbors of Colburn to do two projects that really elevated the community. This is a lost opportunity. And of course, he blames Weary. This is going to hurt for a lot of years because it's going to cost us millions of dollars and we may not get an Olympic-sized pool because of his childish antics. I just don't think the facts support that. By the way, what happened to that mystery hotel that Chris Weary allegedly killed almost, but the mayor was going to resurrect it? I don't think there should be any bad guys here. Tundra proposed something. It wasn't a bad thing. But it is in direct conflict with a commitment that has been made at Colburn. It was in direct conflict. And Tundra did, in fact, say either or. It is just that simple. And yes, you can crunch the dollars and say that it made more sense than the Colburn, but two, I don't think, makes sense. And Chris Weary was hardly alone in his concerns on this. And I have my suspicions about the inspiration for that letter. And I will leave it at that. Then there's this. Tom Nelson, Democratic candidate for the 8th Congressional District. I need to start telling you about Tom Nelson because you probably, if you're a voter in the 8th Congressional District, don't know a lot about Tom Nelson. Former state representative. He is now the county executive of Outagamie County. He is a formidable candidate. Whomever the Republican nominee ends up being, Tom Nelson is a formidable candidate. It's an open flip-floppy seat, historically, Democrat, Republican. And Nelson is positioning himself as a moderate. I would argue that's a facade, a charade. He's not. He would be a far left liberal in Congress. So he's holding what we believe to be his first fundraiser. You're invited to support Tom Nelson. By the way, I know he's not the only one to do that. I cordially invite you to come and give me money. This is why I could never run for public office. You make it look like you're honored with this invitation. By the way, it's being held in Milwaukee. Yes. Earl's like, really? Not in the 8th Congressional District. Hosted by, if I could do a drum roll here, I would, Governor Jim Doyle. Herb Cole. Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley. Big bunch of lefties. It's his first fundraiser. But no, he's moderate. And that is the way that he is going to position himself. Which is what a Democrat tries to do in the 8th Congressional District, because it does have its success. Now, I want to say one other word about the 8th Congressional District. And this is an addendum to something I said on Friday. There are Frank Lissay supporters who think I've been unfair to Frank. I have said this before, and I'll say this again. I think either Frank Lissay or Mike Gallagher would be perfectly fine congressmen. Either one would be a good congressman from the 8th Congressional District. Frank has gone on a scorched earth policy. He's saying things about Mike that are untrue. So I am calling him out on that. In terms of disclosure, yes, I was at Mike Gallagher's announcement. I said that the very next day. I never hid that. I've also said that I do find the Gallagher candidacy very attractive. I've never hid that. But I also said I'm going to try to be fair here. So far, Frank has come out guns a-blazing, scorched earth with a lot of false attacks. And I said if Mike Gallagher does the same, I will treat him the same. The other thing I do want to mention, though, I've known Frank Lissay since 2004. He's made no effort to reach out to me. He has made no effort. He didn't let me know about his announcement before it happened. He saw no value in this show as he was running for Congress. Mike Gallagher did. Mike Gallagher and I have had conversations. We have gotten to know one another. That is something apparently Mike Gallagher saw value in. Frank Lissay did not, and I've known Frank since 2004. So that's the full disclosure on that. When Frank does something I think is dishonest, I will call him out on it again. If Mike Gallagher does something I think is dishonest, I will call him out on it again. Then there is this, or I will call him out. Can't call him out again, but I will call him out. Then there is this. The Democratic State Convention in a couple of weeks is going to be in Green Bay, just as the Republican State Convention was in Green Bay. The Republican State Convention was in downtown Green Bay. The Democratic Party Convention is going to be at the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center. Yes, Terry McNulty, you would make a fine congressman, too. Terry, you would make just a fine congressman, too. Come on, Terry, I'm the one guy who hasn't forgotten you. You've been on the show twice, which is two times more than Frank Lissay. Well, it's because you won't let him on. Oh, by the way, I should mention, I have also reached out to Frank. I didn't on the last one because it's clear he's not going to respond to me. But I gave him an opportunity to comment on those things. And he knows he's welcome on the show anytime. Yes, there are three candidates. Terry McNulty. Thanks for listening, Terry. All right. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin convention is at the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center. Here's what's interesting about this. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin convention was there in 2009 at the Radisson. Yeah, they never fully paid their bill. They're coming back, and they still have a balance of $5,807.34. $5,807.34 to the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center. Total bill was $15,000. They paid $7,350 back in 2011, 5 years ago, 5.5 years. It was January. But as Dan Bice in the Journal Sentinel reports, has coughed up zilch since then. And I should stress, this is Dan Bice's reporting. Their convention's going to be there June 3rd and 4th. A state Dem official blamed previous party leaders for the oversight. We inherited a small number of outstanding accounts payable. He basically dumps it on Mike Littleman Tate, who, by the way, was elected at that 2009 convention. So, Brandon Weathersby, spokesperson for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, what does he do? He blames Republicans. How can he blame Republicans? Well, they're drawing attention to the outstanding debt. It's surprising and hypocritical that GOP operatives would choose this week to raise such an issue as Governor Scott Walker, blah, 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 blah. That's all you got? Look, you didn't pay your damn bill. You got caught. Now, is it possible that Republicans dug this up and fed it to Bice? Oh, yeah, because lefties have never done that. All sorts of people feed Dan Bice things. Just the way people feed me things. And like me, Dan Bice doesn't share his sources. It's just the way it is. But that's all they had. And then Bice goes on to equivocate. Yeah, well, you know, Walker did this, that, and the other thing. I just find it hysterical. And if you're the Radisson, it's like, well, all right, do you want cash up front? Actually, it's an interesting business question. Would you allow them to go through with it without at least clearing that $5,000 off the books? For example, by the way, that information comes from FEC filings. Well, yeah, you know, Earl's pointing out political ads on the radio have to be paid in advance, but even take political advertising out of it. Earl used to own a radio station. If somebody stiffed you, would you let them run another schedule without getting clear on the books and then cash in advance for the new schedule? You wouldn't think that they would let them just do this. Speaking of people letting people just do things, it's a name you might not recognize, Ryan Honnell. You know who Ryan Honnell is? He's the whistleblower, the VA Toma opiate scandal. He wrote a letter to the editor to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which refused to publish it. Someone else did. I'm going to share it with you at 9:06. And his email exchange with the Journal Sentinel on why they wouldn't run it. This is great stuff. It's 9 o'clock.
News, talk, sports.